gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Wow, it is the, it's like the radio program of free speech. So you come here, you get news, information, and mostly analysis. Today, though, it's going to be a little bit news-heavy. You want to keep Republic Broadcasting going. You want to keep RBN going for reasons that are about to become very obvious. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. Also, download the CoSertified app from nationalbugle.com. It's the number one site for downloading the CoSertified app. It is a very, very important tool, and it's a template to some very, very important things that we need to do. And there's no time to lose. Let's just put it that way. Okay, today's our Monday show, and Monday we always have Cato with us, but today we're also, for the first part of the show, we're going to be joined by former Louisiana Representative Dr. David Duke. First, Cato, welcome. Ni hao ma.
I'm okay. I'm okay.
It's okay.
Just another day here at here in the American wasteland.
Yep, and then Dr. Duke, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Patrick, and hi, Cato. Nice to talk to both of you again.
Okay. All right. So the Ukraine stuff has been going on for the past seven weeks or so. And not long after this started, we stumbled across a very interesting man. I was having trouble with his name. People who listen to this show know I've been talking about some guy who's from Chile, but he speaks with an American accent. His name is Gonzalo Lira, and he has been living in Kharkov. He's married to a woman from Ukraine, and he's been living there, and he's been doing a lot of videos, some with Scott Ritter, some with Alexander Mercurius. These are new names to me. And I commented on a very excellent video he did where he was about a month ago, where he was saying that what's going on, the person most responsible for it's Victoria Nuland, and her objective is to overthrow the Russian government. And this is exactly, of course, what we've been saying. Now, Dr. Duke just within the past hour or so seems to have heard some news regarding Mr. Gonzalo Lira. And what is this news?
Well, Gonzalo Lira is a Chilean American. I don't know if he's got American citizenship, but he still has a Chilean passport. He may have an American passport. I don't know. But he lived in America, grew up in America. His father was very international and involved in business and other factors. And he's also a very educated man. He went to Dartmouth. He's got business degrees and other degrees. He's extremely well-spoken. And he's a Chilean, a very European Chilean, by the way, just so that some of our listeners know that. And just so you get an idea of the man, he's very interesting. He looks like a typical person from Spain. He is extremely, as I said, well knowledgeable. He's knowledgeable. He's well-spoken. He's reasonable, and he has an enormous amount of material and facts about what's going on in Ukraine, married to a Ukrainian woman, has children, and he's been in Ukraine during this entire war. He's monitored both sides of the media. He's interviewed many, many people around the country. He's got a very prominent website presence on YouTube, also on Twitter. They suspended his Twitter account because he was daring to show that some of the atrocity propaganda about Ukraine, for instance, in the suburb of Kyiv, that this was completely manufactured BS, that the real atrocities were done in an ethnic cleansing, which they have on tape, of the Ukrainian radicals who are going and ethnically cleansing Ukrainians who support the other side of the war. That's the eastern part of Ukraine. And again, these people are not traitors to Ukraine. Ukraine has been both Russian-descended, And in fact, most of the country is Russia descended really decently. When you talk about the Rus, the Kievan Rus, which formed the country, not only is it Russian descended, but it also has people from Poland, people from Germany, people from different countries in that area of the world. And these people are not traitors. They've been speaking, almost half the country speaks Russian. Almost all the intellectuals speak Russian, because when you study a language in university or in school, you study Russian because 250 million people speak Russian, not 25 million people in Ukraine, right? I speak the Ukrainian dialect of
Russian. And you have just massive body of Russian literature, of, you know, Russian books written about all sorts of topics. And so a lot of people who...
Books, scientific data.
A lot of people who grew up in America take it for granted that you go to the library and you can find anything you want. But that's because English is a big language, and Russian's a big language that has a lot of... It's a very literary language, and so there is a big advantage. You know, you're going to have at least 10 or 20 times as much knowledge accessible to you in the Russian language as you would in Ukrainian.
Yeah, and it's part of their heritage, and it's part of the Ukrainian heritage. And so what the Jewish element's done, and we've been talking about, and you can't talk about these issues, to make it really clear, as you know, you've been talking about your show, this is a Jewish war. Ukraine is a Jewish dictatorship. Mm-hmm. The head of Ukraine is Zelensky, who's Jewish and very, very totally subsumed into the Holocaust stuff. He brags about his ancestors who died in the so-called Holocaust. And guess what? Those Jews blame the Ukrainians for that. They blame the Russians for that. They blame that, especially in Ukraine. Hello?
I don't want the listeners to be in suspense for too long. What's going on with Gonzalo Lira?
Well, here's the situation. He's been putting out a lot of stuff about a lot of important people who served in the parliament and everything else, who've now disappeared. And as I was going to say, yeah, the prime minister of Ukraine is Jewish. You have Denise Shmyhal, who's another Jew, who's the all-important defense minister. All right, and you can just, you know, that's the prime minister, by the way, Denise Shmyhal. You have the defense minister, Reznikov, Jewish. And you have the all-important, by the way, I'm not going to talk about the culture, we don't do that now, but we can talk about the secret police. And Jews, of course, have been infamous of their secret police in the days of communism. And the Jewish secret police is what really led the Holodomor, which is purposeful starvation. Sorry, it's a little late. I've been up early this morning, but with all this stuff about Gonzalo Lira, it's like I just had to continue on.
You still haven't told us yet.
And I'm going to do it. So right now. So anyway, secret police is backing off, right? And he listed a whole bunch of people who disappeared now. Mm-hmm. He's been talking about the fact that these so-called mass murders haven't been done by the Russians. The evidence is overwhelming that it's been done by these radicals. And they even have ethnic cleansing phone calls that when the Russians left, and they weren't, by the way, they didn't lose the battle around Kyiv, they withdrew from that so they could do a bigger battle in the eastern part of the country. So here's what happened. So he puts up the list of the people who have been disappeared. He's held up in Kharkiv, and he's very bravely still twittering. He's broadcasting, and he's disappeared now. Now, I've been following him every day. I've gone to his Twitter. I've gone to his YouTube. I've gone to his Telegram. I've reached out to him a few times because I wanted to really have him on my show, and he's really been a fantastic voice. And we didn't ever get together, but in the last 2 days when I tried the most, he's been out of touch now for about 2 days. Mm-hmm. And he's always promised to stay in touch, and he's got a lot of other friends, and I'm sure that if he was able to, if he was just in a different place or somebody with a different phone, he would have been able to reach out. I think the likelihood is that he's been captured by the Ukrainian secret police. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to think the worst, but I know what these people are doing. I know what these Jews have done historically. And I really do believe right now he's under, God knows, torture. Well, I mean, I hate to say that, but I really do believe this. And I believe that it's very essential that both the United States government, because I think he certainly was had residence in this country, and I think Russia should do the best they can to put some pressure. sorry to save this person's life and let him get back home to his family and his children. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're trying to silence them. You know why, folks? Is because they've got to cover up their own monstrous crimes.
Okay, so I have. Well, I was just listening to Gonzalo Lira on his Rumble channel, and you can go to Rumble and just look for Gonzalo Lira. And the most recent video he has, I think, is from the 14th, which mm-hmm. would be Good Friday, right? Is that Good Friday or is it Thursday?
Well, Christ did rise in 3 days, so being Easter, it should be.
Okay. Okay. So he was talking to Scott Ritter, and it was mostly Scott Ritter talking. He was interviewing Scott Ritter, which was interesting. There's one from maybe the one before that from about a week or so ago. He was being interviewed by a black gentleman from the UK, although that black gentleman whose name I don't know, but he speaks with a standard American accent, not a black American accent, but a standard American accent, but he's apparently is British. I think he's got an African name or something. But it was actually an excellent interview. And it was, and maybe this is what you're referring to, it was on that interview, because the black gentleman is like somebody who's like a serious person, but he decided
not
he
very
was
knowledgeable. Not very knowledgeable.
Not knowledgeable. He decided he didn't know what to trust regarding Ukraine, so he just closed his eyes to it. And so it wound up being a very good interview. So it was somebody who was doing the interview as someone who is more or less a blank slate. And Gonzalo Lira was saying, well, look, you can here's this whole list of people who has disappeared. And he would say the name, and then this black gentleman would in real time Google these people's names and confirm the details to the extent he could. And in the process of doing that, Gonzalo Lira said it was either a politician or journalist who had disappeared, and I think disappeared and was tortured. And Gonzalo Lira said, this is the person who like really means a lot to me, because that's my future. That's what's going to happen to me if they get me. And so I don't know. Now, other people have asked him, well, why are you still in Ukraine? Why didn't you leave, you know, when you had the chance? And he said something like, well, he was in the 9.1 on the Richter scale earthquake in Santiago about a dozen years ago when they had that massive, massive earthquake. And he was on the 10th or 12th floor of a building and it was shaking like crazy. And he survived it. And he feels like he's in it again, but like just feels like somebody needs to stay there and report. So he's doing this, and you know, he may have decided that it was just too difficult. He might have gone into hiding. He might be maintaining radio silence. He might be safe, but we don't know, and it is a worry. And then you have somebody like Victoria Nuland, and he's been speaking very, very bluntly about Victoria Nuland, who is the number one person, more than Zelensky, probably more than Kolomoisky. Probably, I think she's the person, definitely. I mean, she has more sway in the American government than
He couldn't be president except for the revolution that, you know.
Yeah, and so
Vicky Nuland did, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, has she ordered him? Has she tried to get him captured?
Well, Jews have a long history of that, Dr. Slattery.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a long, long, bloody history of that. I mean, even Jews that were running the Nuremberg trials from America were torturing German prisoners of war, officers and others, torturing them, literally. And this was, when I say this, that was by Robert Taft in the United States Congress. And these Jews, and we know they're Jews, and we know there were Jews in charge of the war crime trials. In fact, one of the judges from the war crimes trials even talked about this fact. And these people were evil, and they wanted to settle old scores. And in testimony before the United States Congress, by Senator Taft, by the way, one of the leading Republican. Yeah.
The son of William Howard Taft, the president.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in sworn testimony, they found out, for instance, one group of German officers, just war officers, right, in Europe, that out of 100 and something like 142 of them, 141 of them had had their testicles damaged. This was the wording in the congressional study. It's pretty shocking. Their testicles damaged beyond repair. And the story was that they were putting pliers on these men to do anything. They were torturing them with the most disgusting and unheard of. And this was from the United States of America side. We know what Ginsburg Higota did. We know what Lazar Kaganovich did in causing the torture, literally the starvation, where Ukrainian women and their babies, the women couldn't even come up with milk because they were being starved. The farmers, which was the breadbasket of Europe, really, even at that time in the 30s, the farmers had a big crop. They didn't have any famine. They didn't have any locust infestation. The Jewish government, and these were Jews in Ukraine that organized this, and this is all historical fact, folks. I've seen the documents in Ukraine when I was going to school there, for those that don't know that. But the historical evidence is that millions upon millions, and the International Committee of 20 different countries, historians, 20 different countries, sponsored by the United States at one time, believe it or not, this, and back in the 1980s, during the Clinton administration, that they came up with the figure between 7 and 11 million. I think it might even be higher than that. And these were mainly women, mainly babies and children.
So there's this long history, and you know, of being extremely, extremely ruthless. And then you can look in more recent history, for instance, these regime change wars in Iraq, in Libya, and what happens to the leaders of the country. They get killed. I mean, Saddam Hussein was hung, and by a
kangaroo court too.
By a kangaroo court, yeah, he was hung. There was no process of appeal. There's a guilty verdict, and he had to be hung within a matter of days. And then Gaddafi was, he was
tortured before he died.
He was tortured. He had a bayonet.
And Hillary Clinton's been joking about it, laughing.
And these were both. You know, okay, Hillary Clinton's not Jewish, or not significantly Jewish. She might have like an ancestor somewhere, but
she's a toady of the Jews. She's definitely
these policies were Jewish policies. So you've got that, but then you look domestically even, and it's you look at the
January 6th people in prison for minor crimes, a lot of them, and they haven't had bail for a year. Yeah.
And who's the attorney general? I mean, who's in charge of this? And
Garfinkel. He goes by the name Garland. It sounds much more white.
Then look at Charlottesville and look at the trial that happened in Charlottesville with what was her name? Roberta Kaplan? That's the name of the
lawyer? Very Jewish.
She was the person who took the gay marriage case to court, Oberfeld or whatever it's called. She was the person who took that to court. But then she took very honorable people like Michael Hill, Professor Michael Hill, and a couple dozen other people, and got, you know, Michael Hill is on the hook for $500,000.
Yeah, and, for going to Charlottesville and speaking in a permitted a national speech. In a park, right?
Not even getting to make the speech, and it was a permitted rally.
And so they were attacked by Antifa, which openly said, "We got to kill these people. Death to racists. Death to Nazis." What they called everybody.
And then, of course, you've been in the gulag, and you know, like supposedly on taxes. This is tax tomorrow. Well, today's tax day. Anybody who has anything other than the W-2, anybody is vulnerable. If you show me the man, and I'll show you the tax crime. But we're off at the break. We'll be right back. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And I want to thank you, Dr. Duke. And I know you have a lot of stuff going on your Gab. What are your final thoughts, and where can people find more information about this from you?
You can reach me on Gab at Real David Duke, and I urge all of you to go there. You can even look at Gab if you don't are not a member. But I suggest you get an account and use any email you want. But, you know, go to Gab, post on Gab. You can communicate with Gab, and we have a running story. I've just noticed we just had missed that 9 comments in just the last few minutes, but right before the show. And you can keep up to date about what's going on here, and also read a lot of my short commentary on a whole bunch of subjects. So, you know, I'll just close by saying this is a war by the Jews, or what you might say is the Jewish global supremacy we live under in the United States, in global banking, global government, global media. This is a war to the last Ukrainian against Russia. It's a war to kill Ukrainians and Russians. It's 2 goyim for the price of 1. That's what this war is about. And unless you're totally brain dead anymore, or just totally out of touch with any reality, you might think, oh, this is a war where the Ukrainians are free. No, they're not free. There's no freedom there. This is a dictatorship. They've even outlawed any other media. No other political parties are allowed but that one. And still, they don't ever correct the record. And a bunch of oligarch thieves that steal billions of dollars from the country, run the country. And this is simply their puppet, this guy they're making out to be some sort of Churchill courageous figure. Well, Churchill was kind of a sludge, too, by the way. And I know that's hard for people to understand. when you don't are familiar with the facts, but Churchill sold out Britain, you know, for his Jewish masters, Rothschilds, who he was actually a servant of. Anyway, that's it. Thank you. Have a good show.
You
and
do.
My best greetings to Han. And Han, we got to have you back on my show one of these days. We had a great interview before together, and I just wish you luck. And people, Han has a lot of sense about what's going on in China and what's going on in America and around the world.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Duke.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter.
Okay, so you never know who's going to drop by, do you?
Yeah, you never know. But it was good to hear from him. Unfortunately, it was kind of bad news, very blackpilling to see one of the truth seekers over in Ukraine get sacked by the Jewish government, the Jewish puppet oligarchic government of Ukraine.
Yeah, and you know, who knows where the orders came from, but just getting back briefly to you know, what goes on in the United States, the January 6th people, you got hundreds of people who have just been detained, and now, you know, the ones who have dared to go to trial, they're getting off to a large extent, but they've, yeah, you know, they've, who's going to give them that year of their life back?
Yeah, it's taken them this long, and the vast majority who are still not in trial, they're still there.
And then others are afraid to go to trial and are, like, taking plea bargains because they don't trust the system. They don't trust that they're going to get a fair trial. And so, you know, they're agreeing to further penalties. And then, like I said, at Charlottesville, and of course you had the Charlottesville civil trial with Roberta Kaplan getting, like, $23 million from a couple dozen different, what do you call them, defendants, including, you know, people, Cantwell, what's his name, Chris Cantwell was one of them, Jason Kessler, Jason Kessler did nothing wrong, he did everything right, he got the permit, everything, I mean, he did everything he could, Richard Spencer, and, you know, maybe some people think Richard Spencer rubs them the wrong way, but why should he have to pay $1 million or $500,000 because this Jewish lawyer says that he frightened her defendants because with his racism or whatever, you know, and other people, Michael Hill in particular. And then, you know, you think of also the people who were arrested on the day or had been arrested, you know, criminal cases. James Fields, totally railroaded, and his, you know, he's got 400 plus years in prison. And then you got people like Jacob Goodwin, who was defending somebody, who was being attacked by these two blacks, and he defended the 60-year-old white man who was under physical attack, and just for, you know, knocking the guy to the black guy to the ground and giving him a fat lip, he's 8 years in prison. So I mean, what it comes down to, and then, you know, like then you got something like Mark Dankoff. Okay, well, Mark Dankoff, he was a Lutheran minister, but he's been blacklisted, and, you know, he's got a family to take care of, and he's going to have to take a hiatus of a year or so. We're not going to be hearing from him because he's been, you know, driven to, like, between being blacklisted from his career and also family obligations. He's, you know, even people like it, it's just so tough. And in what way is this a free country? And why are people so easily distracted by China and Russia when, like, our country is lost?
As we've, you know, very well seen and proven beyond a reasonable doubt, there's way more freedom of speech in China than there is here. That's for sure.
Yeah, if the Chinese say we're ruled by the CCP, they're not going to get in trouble. If we say we're ruled by the Jews, we get in big trouble. All right, we'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so we're going to shift gears now, unless you had – no, I guess we'll just shift gears. And we're going to talk about – we've been hearing a lot about these coronavirus lockdowns in Shanghai. And it's hard to know, but you sent me a video from an English guy who's living somewhere in China. Not in Shanghai, though, but somewhere in China. And he's downplaying it. So what did he have to say? Who is he and what did he have to say?
So there's this this British expat that lives over in China. His name is Jason. He has a channel on YouTube. It's called Living in China. And he basically just talks about, you know, what it's like to live in China. He lives in Guizhou, which is a southern Chinese. It's in southern China.
Which province is it?
Guizhou province.
Guizhou province. And where is that in relation to, say, Fujian or Canton or Yangquan?
West. It's about
Is it west? Is it west of Guangzhou?
It's west of Guangzhou, yes.
Okay. Is it all the way, like, so there's Hunan, what else is there?
There's also the there's the autonomous well actually scratch that out. There's Hunan, there's Guangxi, there's Guizhou. Guizhou is, there's, let's see, you got Fujian, Guangzhou, Guangxi. These are all the coastal, southern coastal, and west of, and then immediately northwest of Guangxi is Guizhou, and the capital city is Guiyang. It's south of Chongqing. It's actually immediately south of Chongqing.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at my globe, from my National Geographic globe from 50 years ago, and I see Chongqing, and of course it's spelled Chongqing, and they're using a different spelling system here. So it's like, what would it be, like halfway between Chongqing and the Vietnamese border, or what?
Yeah, about, I would say.
All right.
Maybe closer to Chongqing.
Okay, so, I mean, and it looked very, very southern, because he's walking around, I guess that was, you know, mid-April, and it already, all the, you know, the foliage is full, and it seemed rather hot, and he was sweating a lot. So, and it's probably more or less the same latitude as, say, New Orleans or something. So it's a southern city.
Yes, it's a southern city in China. And, yeah.
And so whereas Shanghai, it would be
more of a coastal,
much farther to the east. So he's not that close to Shanghai, but he's probably able to at least monitor it through.
Definitely a lot closer than you and I, and certainly a lot closer than anyone in the West who wants
Tucker,
to.
He's Tucker,
make,
closer than Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, he's closer than Tucker Carlson, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he makes content talking about what his life is in China, and he's, you know, has very good things to say about China, and he has to reiterate multiple times, you know, I'm not a paid shill. Don't call me a paid shill. Because you know how the haters are in the West. Anyone who says good things about China is automatically a paid shill. And you know, and I really recommend his infrastructure. He did a really good video comparing China's infrastructure to America's infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I really recommend that one. That was probably his best video. Mm-hmm. And he'll also like make fun of the BBC. You know, talking to just he'll call it BSB News, and he'll make fun of the BBC talking about how they just report all this nonsense and their tweaks, you know, like they'll gray out the background and make things look darker than they actually are. And yeah, so, but he put out some good content, you know. Obviously, you know, you and I as you know, nationalist dissidents in the West, you know, we, you know, have a, you know, obviously we see what's going on here, and he might not see everything, so he might have certain, you know, views that just, you know, which is just a lack of understanding of what's happening in the West. But I mean, he overall, I'd say his stuff on China is very good.
Yeah. Now, one thing is, he was talking about, they, at some point in the past, they had, there was somebody with the coronavirus who came to his town, and they found the person, isolated him, and took care of it, and they're back to zero cases. And you know, Shanghai being a bigger city, it's going to take a little bit longer to do it. But basically, he supports the government policy. Now, the government policy is zero cases. It's not let's live with it. It's let's have zero cases, which I think is a bad idea. But just because you disagree with a policy, just because you think a policy is bad, and in my case, I'm very confident that zero COVID is a bad policy. But the thing that I think I wanted to get through to RBN listeners is, just because a policy is bad doesn't mean it was implemented for nefarious reasons. Because lots of policies, we've gone through history with lots of bad policies. I'll give some examples later, but that's, I want to kick it back to you.
Well, I mean, like for example, you know, there's a lot of, you know, traffic policies, traffic rules and regulations here in America that don't make any sense. And any commuter will tell you that it doesn't make any sense. Why is this traffic policy this way? But that in and of itself is not what makes America so bad. You know, there's more, even more sinister things. But you know, it's not because of, you know, bad traffic policies, whether it's a speed limit or something. Yeah, I don't like that speed limit, but that's not why I despise America so much. And The thing is, it's like, yeah, you're right. And by the way, this goes back to what we were talking about last week with, you know, what you can and can't criticize in China. Yeah, in China, you could say, yeah, I disagree with the zero COVID policy. I think we should, you know, have, I think we should just live with it, just like we live with the common cold and the flu. Mm-hmm. And that would be perfectly acceptable. But if you say, oh, the CCP is evil for implementing the zero COVID policy, they need to be overthrown, then that's not acceptable. Then that will get you in trouble, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very confident in the Chinese government that they are not trying to destroy their own people. They are not at war with their own people, unlike the governments in the West. Mm-hmm. Just because something is done, you know, just because something is done over there that, you know, we don't like doesn't mean that it's bad. I mean, or doesn't mean that they're trying to destroy their own people. Just you know, like over here. Okay, the reason why we don't trust these Western governments, number one, they're all puppet governments, you know, controlled by, you know, Jewish power. But it's because they're purposely, intentionally, spitefully being done for the sole purpose of destroying the people in the West. Destroying the European and American peoples. Mm-hmm. That's why we're against the lockdowns here. Over there, that's different. It's like, over there, it actually is different. If they do lockdowns, that's different than if they do lockdowns here. Over there, yeah, I don't agree. I don't think they should do lockdowns over there. But that doesn't mean that they're doing it to harm their own people, whereas over here, they are.
So, here's a policy. You know, we have these global warming policies. And there's a whole bunch of them. And, you know, some of them are, some of them aren't so bad, and some of them are bad. And there are people who have nefarious purposes, and there are people who don't, right? And, you know, like, oh, what would be a good example? Ethanol. You know, if you went back 110 years or so, ethanol was used to run cars. I mean, the internal combustion engine, was the original fuel gasoline or was it ethanol? I'm not sure. You might want to look into that. But very, very early on, ethanol was used. There weren't a whole lot of cars. If you went back to, say, 1900, 1910, there weren't a whole lot of cars. And there wasn't, like, the oil industry wasn't nearly what it became later. And people were used to making alcohol. You know, people have been making alcohol for a long time, mostly to drink, but for other purposes too. And so ethanol was also a fuel. And ethanol, in certain ways, was a better fuel. Gasoline made cars knock and would destroy the engine, except that a lead additive was invented that prevented the knocking. And so in more recent decades, partly or largely for, you know, CO2 reduction reasons, the ethanol was promoted. Well, I think some of the people who promoted it thought, well, okay, ethanol is actually a really good fuel. It's good. And, you know, if the ethanol is produced from plants and the plants are taking carbon out of the atmosphere and putting it into sugars, which then gets refined into ethanol, and then it gets burned, it gets put back into the air as carbon dioxide, then, you know, you're not creating extra carbon dioxide. It'll be good for that. And, you know, we grow a lot of corn. And so I think there are people who had good reasons, although they were mistaken, because actually the production of ethanol, sunshining on the corn plants is one of the inputs, but one of the other inputs is are these artificial fertilizers, nitrogen-based fertilizers, which are produced using a great deal of natural gas. And so you're still burning the natural gas, using the natural gas to make the fertilizer, and then it wasn't a good policy. And some of the people who promoted this policy did have nefarious reasons. But a lot of people thought it was good policy. It wasn't. But just because a policy is bad doesn't mean the people who promoted it were nefarious. They could just be mistaken. And I don't think that the Chinese – I don't think that the coronavirus was invented in a Chinese bioweapons lab and released as an attack on America, or accidentally released with a spilled test tube. I think if anything, I don't know exactly where it came from, but I think if anything, it would have come from Chapel Hill or Fort Detrick in Maryland, and was released over there. If it's man-made, maybe it's not man-made, but I don't think that. And I think the Chinese originally were kind of freaked out about it. It was the first place that it was really came to light, and they were kind of freaked out and didn't know what to do. And I still think a lot of people in a lot of places really don't know. And there's been so much weird information in every direction. So I think there's a lot of confusion about it. And that in some cases explains bad policy. Now, in our case, in America, we know, regardless of what Fauci thinks or what Governor Slutmore thinks or anybody else, some of these people have nefarious reasons. Others just don't know any better and are implementing bad policy. So that's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also you notice the hypocrisy of the Western media. On one hand, when it comes to lockdowns in the West, they're all like, "Yeah, we need to do these lockdowns. This is for public health, and people who don't want these lockdowns, they're dangerous. Right-wing extremists, and They're dangerous to society, and they need to be treated as domestic terrorists, and they're a threat to democracy." Meanwhile, in China, when they do a lockdown that's nowhere even close to the lockdowns in the West, "Oh my goodness, China's locking people down. China's throwing people in camps." Just the absolute hypocrisy of the Western media.
Hmm. So you look at America and look at public policy in general, and in massive, massive areas of public policy, you just see, you can see everything is kind of an attack on white people. The defense budget is a huge hunk of our budget. And what's the defense budget do? I mean, it's all for promoting Jewish wars right now, for promoting, for keeping the war in Ukraine dragging on, so you have more and more deaths. I mean, that's insane. Then you look at the whole today's tax day, right? Look at the tax code. And look at so much of the tax code is income redistribution away from classes that are largely white towards classes that are largely black or immigrant, Hispanic. You look at that. I mean, the child tax credits, the earned income credit, like there's just all of this that's written into the tax code. You look at Obamacare, which is now since Brandon R. Trojan came into office. You really can get it with it as an illegal alien. You couldn't before, but now you can. All you need, if you walk over that border and then they give you that piece of paper saying in 3 years or 5 years you're going to have to show up, you can use that. That will qualify you to get Obamacare. And if you don't have much of an income, then it's free. And like everything, you look at the racial policy. Everywhere you look at public policy, it is anti-white American in particular. If you look at China's policy has been very successful. It's made things better. Is it always right? It's not necessarily always right, but when you see policy that has raised standards of living for 4 decades straight, raised them enormously. And then you see something where they're doing something wrong, like a lockdown. Couldn't that just be like a mistake? Does that have to be like part of some grand scheme that they're really as bad as we are? That's my question.
Well, we know that the Jewish control Western media wants the masses here in the West to think that. To think that, Chinese this, big bad, evil dictatorship, when in reality, no, that's the West, that's the United States, that's Europe, that's Canada especially. I mean, now with Canada, what they have this policy now to where any trucker or anybody, the government can just seize whatever they have without a warrant. I mean, because the truckers, who are protesting for their freedom, they got violently crushed by the Canadian government. And now, because they lost that and the regime gained even more power over there, now they're using even their emergency powers even more to say that we can seize the assets of people who we deem are a threat to security without a warrant. So it's the West that's, I mean, you know, it's, you know, talk about, you know, that old Polish proverb, you know, the Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you in the back. Well, the Western liberal democracies cry out dictator tyranny as they, you know, brutally crush their own people.
Yeah. All right. Well, the last break. We're going to come right back. We'll be running right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Okay, well, we're back, and I had something really important to say. I can't remember what it was, but just to reemphasize, China, like, they're not always going to have the right policy, but if you look at it as a whole, it seems that they're trying, and it seems that they're getting good results. And if you look at what's going on in our country overall, it's like policy after policy is really, really bad. But I do think the zero case policy is a bad policy. I think it's if anything, it shows that they don't know that much about the coronavirus, that they didn't develop it. That's what I mean. There are going to be people who say, "Oh no, they're just trying to lure other countries into imitating their bad policies. You know, there's some of our people just like something happened and therefore it was planned in a back room somewhere. And I think we got to get over that thinking.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing of, oh, yeah, everything is all these secret, unseen, rulers in somewhere in the clouds that live in, some space pod in the clouds or something. And they're all just, using everything like chess pieces or that's foolishness. And that gets people nowhere because, okay, if that's okay, what can we do? If that's what it is, then, it is what it is. And, eat, drink, and be happy.
And it makes us look goofy.
Yeah, it makes us look like absolute fools.
And because, we can't prove it. I was hearing somebody, I won't say her name, but I was hearing somebody talk about how many people in the U.S. Congress or in the cabinet she guesses are dual citizens, dual Israeli citizens. What's even the point of that? We know how many people are Jews. So why do we have to guess how many of them might have dual passports? What difference does that even make?
Yeah, like I've already said, the seat of Jewish power is not Israel, it's the United States. It's here. That's more important for them than there. So what?
The thing is, right now, this is really, really is crunch time. And I don't mean to be blackpilling, but we could be on the verge of World War III. And it's not the time to get goofy. And, like I said, I think it's pretty obvious that we need to keep RBN going. It's pretty obvious that, we don't live. Not only do we not live in a democracy, our democracy, it's not a free country. It's compared to even places like China that don't even like boast about how free they are. We're we don't even approach them in terms of freedom. What do we have? And we could be on the verge of World War III. It's really bad. So we have to be focused and not goofy. I don't know. Am I just rambling?
Well, you're right. I mean, this is already, it's already long overdue. It's like, we got to get serious here. I mean, the number one objective is we got to be, warning people against World War III and doing everything we can to tell people, hey, don't support World War III. Don't support the war agenda of these globalist masterminds. It's like, we have to put aside all our speculations of, oh, this and that, and, everything's controlled, and enough of that. World War III. I mean, this is it right here. Every week I always say, "Yeah, we survived another week." That's I'm being serious. If the American Empire, which is falling apart, decides to take down the whole world with it, that's not a laughing matter because the whole world.
If the Empire, to Russia, this is an existential threat, and to Vladimir Putin as a human being, it's an existential threat, and he's not going to lose this war. He's not going to lose it. So how far are we going to push him for him to win it? Are we going to push him to the point where this is going to go on all year and a million people in Ukraine are going to die? Are we going to push it to the extent that he has to use tactical nuclear weapons? How far are we going to push it? He's going to win because it's existential for him. It's not existential for us, although it could become – all right. You see where I'm going with it. That was more important than what I was trying to remember. But we're out of time. For this show. Hopefully we'll be back here next week.
Yeah, hopefully. But we'll see.
We'll see. Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow in another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.